Florence, my dear, have those blokes at the abattoir accepted you yet? I reckon you can kill as well as any man. You've certainly put a bolt through my heart.
Expressions of love come in many forms, whether it's a bolt through your heart or Cupid's arrow. Even con artists fall in love, but it's not with you. Their true love is for something near and dear to you, your bank book. These people are heartbreakers, seducers, and rogues. They don't care about you. They only want to romance your money. Today we share our love by alerting you to Valentine's scams. Dear listener, I offer you a scammer's Valentine. Words of love from my keyboard make your heart take flight. So don't mistake my plea for money as a reason for fright. My needs are genuine and my motives are clear. So please wire your money so I can disappear. The most common scam during this Valentine's season is the Russian romance scam. We covered this in depth in Season 1, Episode 3, so I'll refer you to that for the details. But here's how it generally works. A sucker is contacted by an unknown person, and over weeks or months, the caller develops a deep love and devotion to the sucker. The scammer wants to meet, but emergencies get in the way, and they have no money to get out of the mess. The sucker offers help, and the cycle continues until the sucker either gets wise or they run out of money. Now, if you have no doubt that your beloved shares your feelings, you may want to express your love in a meaningful way. Flowers are traditional, but what if the rose has lost its bloom? Whether your lover is local or long distance, you may select an arrangement online or by phone to be delivered by a florist. This is particularly effective if delivered to an office, where admiring friends will be envious of this lavish demonstration of love and commitment. As the day wears on, you sit close to your phone, anticipating a call or text about how beautiful the flowers are and how wonderful you are for sending them. But none of that happens if the flowers never arrive. Of course, florists can make mistakes, but if not, you may have been scammed. Online or by phone, order gatherers are supposed to take your request, collect your credit card information, and pass the order along to a participating florist. Sometimes, they just collect the payment and ditch the order. This special Valentine is just for you. When the flowers don't arrive, and you find you've been connived, no loving words will alleviate your sweetheart's resentment and hate. It's possible the service that took your order was legit, but was run by incompetent business people. One service that drew lots of complaints was Ready Flowers.
Almost 2 years ago, I got involved with Ready Flowers. At first, it was a little bit rocky, and then it started to work out really well. And as of September last year, we stopped receiving our payments, but we were having issues from around July trying to get the previous payments. It all went downhill from there, and I've lost a lot of my clients due to having to leave my shop and have basically cut my work in half now. Ready Flowers owes me $22,500, and these are for outstanding invoices dating back from September, October, November, and December last year. I'm quite embarrassed to walk into the flower markets because there's a lot of people that I owe money to, and I can't do anything till I'm paid.
The Sydney Morning Herald said Ready Flowers collapsed into liquidation, but has been rebranded as Z Flowers. In a different scam, you might get a call from a florist asking for your address and get word that the sender forgot to pay the delivery charge. If you'll supply your credit card, a bouquet will be headed your way. This scam is called phishing, and is not used just on Valentine's Day. It appears in various forms, all designed to get your credit card information. The Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office has this warning.
In the holiday delivery scam, people receive a phone call from a fake shipping company to schedule a delivery. The thief shows up at the person's home with a package. The con artist insists payment be made by credit card, giving victims the impression that the transaction is legitimate. The credit card is then swiped on a mobile device. Although the person may have received a nice gift, the thieves are going on their own personal shopping spree using the person's credit card. Here are some preventative tips. Never accept a package if you don't know who the sender is. Don't give out credit or debit card information unless you've initiated the transaction or the purchase.
In retrospect, perhaps you would have been better off sending a card. Maybe a cute e-card with dancing bunnies or a flying cupid. Hallmark cards regularly reminds people that if they get an email with an attachment saying they've received a card, it's best to go to the card seller's website and use the code in the email to view the card. Otherwise, that attachment may release all kinds of bugs and viruses onto your computer. Snail mail may be safer, unless your soon-to-be ex-partner sends you a glitter bomb.
My name is Ruth Carter, and I'm a licensed attorney in Arizona. And this is your question of the day. Is mailing a glitter bomb illegal? All right, somebody obviously knows my love of glitter and all things sparkly. But just mailing someone an envelope of glitter or paying a service to send someone an envelope of glitter, I think it would be hard to make that argument. But again, these situations often come down to what are the rules of your state. So you'd have to look at the do's and don'ts of where you live to see if it's legal or not. On its face, it seems pretty innocuous. Messy, but innocuous.
As long as your loved one isn't diabetic, chocolate's a good choice. Just be sure it doesn't leave a bitter taste in their mouth. Imagine bounding into the bedroom on Valentine's morning, thrusting a carton of chocolates at your lover saying, "Happy Valentine's Day! Have you heard about the new chocolate diet? Now you can eat all you want." After you pick yourself off the floor with the sound of,
"Are you saying I'm fat?"
ringing in your ears, it might be pointed out to you that there is no chocolate diet. There never was.
Well, we hired people on Facebook to show up and go on a diet for 3 weeks. And we randomly assigned those people, about a dozen showed up, to three different regimes. One was low carb, another was low carb plus a bar of chocolate every day. And then we had a control group who were instructed to just carry on business as usual.
That is John Bohannon, who has a PhD in molecular biology. He set up a fake study to demonstrate that the press doesn't understand scientific methods and in its zeal for headlines ends up spreading false information. The chocolate study involved surveys, control groups, and blood tests. Bohannon had an overwhelming amount of data, and he talked about it with NPR's Robert Siegel.
And in fact, that's the point here. If you have a small number of people and a large number of variables that you're testing for, you're right. You're more or less guaranteeing that something will turn out to look like it's scientifically significant.
That's the rub, is that if you don't say ahead of time what you're looking for exactly, then you can just pick up whatever random result you do get and say, ha-ha, this is the result. It's what we call the reproducibility crisis. If you can't reproduce your work and if you haven't designed your study to be reproducible, then how much credit can you give it in the end anyway?
Chocolate may be an okay choice, but you might hold off on the Dr. Oz-style science. February 14th may arouse memories of a love affair gone awry and how you'd like to forget the vermin that ruined your life. We have a poem for that. Several zoos can give you the closure you seek, although it may be at the end of some bird's beak. This method may seem cruel, but you are no fool. It's time to banish all memory of that god-awful ghoul. This is what the zoos can do for you. For a modest donation, they'll name a cockroach after your former bestie and feed it to one of its avian residents. Better still, they'll send you a link to the video of the bug's demise. You can watch it, loop it, or, if you're feeling particularly crushed, send the link to the target of your resentment. If feeding a cockroach to a bird doesn't match your level of distaste, how about a lunch date? With a rat.
So, here's what we have. Would you like to put a name to this?
Kate. Because that's the name of my ex-wife.
Okay, here we go. Kate the rat, curse ex-wife.
Oh, the background sound? Those were rattlesnakes at Olympus Reptiles during its Valentine's Day promotion. If you've been paying attention, you've probably noticed a pattern here. Scammers pretending to be something they aren't in order to get your credit card information and your money. It's not a new technique. Just keep in mind that things aren't always what they seem to be, and it's best to walk away if you smell a rat or hear a rattle. I hope you've enjoyed these tales I've told. For con artists and scammers, they never get old. So beware, dear listeners, don't fall for their deal, or else you'll give scammers a license to steal. A successful con seduces a sucker into a world where their dreams can come true. This magic casts a spell that leads its audience to anxiously hand over all their money to scammers, who vanish before the sucker realizes it was all an illusion. If you enjoy the podcast, please help us out by telling your friends and encouraging them to listen. Scams and Cons is available wherever podcasts are found and at scamsandcons.com. You can also follow us on Facebook. Just look for Scams and Cons. Lastly, we'd be grateful for a 5-star rating wherever you're listening right now. It really does go a long way toward helping us build our audience. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening.
True terrors of horror, bizarre happenings, unexplainable events. On our podcast, Disturbed, terror takes center stage. Each episode is a journey into the darkest corners of human existence, delving into bone-chilling tales of kidnappings, serial killers, maniacs, and the very essence of your worst nightmares coming to life on this weekly true horror show. Disturbed is not for the faint of heart. It's an exploration of real, unadulterated horror sourced from everyday people. Each episode is a descent into the macabre, where we narrate stories that will leave you on the edge of your seat and crawling in your skin. We navigate the disturbing narratives that lurk in the shadows, offering a raw and unfiltered listen into the most terrifying aspects of the human experience. Enter at your own risk and let the unsettling tales unfold in the haunting realm of Disturbed. And remember, listeners, stay safe out there.